Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 459. This is Kevin DeFrango. On one side of me is Jeremy Mays. What is going on, sir?
Well, you guys already got an earful. Hello, everybody.
And on the other side of me, and also chuckling in the background, is one Chris Calamita. What is going on up north, sir?
Not a whole heck of a lot, guys. How's it going with you, Kevin?
Couldn't be going any better for the most part, I would say, between selling the condo, if something needs to be found now, which is going to be a fucking chore. We'll see what the future holds, but Stunt Granny Studios North definitely in for a relocation in the somewhat near future here.
Well, Stunt Granny Studio South is going through a total renovation, so, a forced one. Technological fucking mess.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, CM Punk might be able to afford his own renovations now that he has been found not guilty of libel. In which case he was going to be set to pay out, I believe it was $4 million.
Well, it would have been four. Well, I don't know what the split would have been between him and Cabana. For Cabana's sake, if it would have gone the wrong way, I would have hoped it would have been at least 75% Punk. But that is not a concern for either of them as of this moment.
Yeah, how would that have worked, actually? Because he just, essentially used Cabana's platform. That was a long time ago, but listening to that podcast, Punk did all the talking. Like, Cabana was like, I wasn't there for that. It was basically, how can a guy get on the hook for that much money when all you basically did was have your friend use your microphone? Well, I guess he posted it too, but probably made a lot of money off of it. And whatever. I say 99.1%. That's it. So
I agree. I don't know how this got, and just in general, I don't know how this got as far as it did, but the Cabana part, really, Cabana really should have been removed from this suit, some time ago.
Well, apparently he's removed from Punk's life too. I didn't know they had a falling out. I didn't really pay attention.
I think at some point they did. Punk thought that maybe Cabana was trying to make a deal, but obviously that wasn't true. But I don't know. Well, CM Punk is an asshole. He didn't deserve this, but in general, he is an asshole.
Well, all right. So listening to I'm going to say the facts of this case, if you want, the testimony, that's a better word. How the hell was this doctor guy ever going to win this thing? Because he's, by his own words, nothing bad happened to him. Except some people on Twitter got on his case. And I guess the really smart people or smart fans would say something to him at the arenas. That's literally it. I don't understand how he was going to win anything.
It did not seem like much of a case, in my opinion, too. Like, there isn't much to it, on top of the fact that he, still has his job.
Yeah, exactly. He still has his job. He lost nothing monetarily. There were some rumors or something that I heard a week or two ago that he had his premiums increased for his insurance and his malpractice insurance, but that never came out in the case, so that either must not have been true. The worst things that happened to him were his Thanksgiving of 2014 was ruined by this podcast, and some guy named on Twitter who goes by the name of Mike Clitoris was very mean to him.
No, shut up. That's not really the name. That's not really the name.
That is the name. That's the username.
That was entered in as evidence?
Yes.
This guy named Mike Clitoris?
Yes, the lawyers actually had to say that with a straight face.
Man, I gotta lighten up, because that's fucking great. I mean, I wish I would have seen that.
Yeah, like, I thought it was a joke when I saw it earlier today, but then I saw, like, three people talking about it, and I'm like, oh, no, that really happened.
It's just it's a Simpsons joke. I mean, I got nothing. I'm just gonna laugh at that one now. Because it's like, did Mike Hunt did they post anything too? I was gonna try not to drop a C-bomb word, but fuck it, I don't care. I mean, that's just Rosie Palms. I'm trying to think of all these ones that Bart Simpson did. Which I know is not original, but still, I mean, I don't know how these cases work.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Not tossed out immediately. As soon as does the judge see this stuff ahead of time? And just like, no, Mike Clitoris is not being entered into my courtroom. It's ridiculous.
Honestly, well, I guess when there's evidence that's that ridiculous, you can't throw it out just for the ridiculous name, but
oh my God.
Honestly, the ridiculous circumstances surrounding this whole thing should have gotten this thing tossed.
This is CM Punk's attorney's actual words during his closing argument. Not one person testified that they believed the podcast. No proof that that Mike Latouris' opinion changed of Dr. Herman, just that Mr. Latouris made his opinion known on Twitter.
Mr. Latouris.
All right, I'm looking that up now, because if that's not someone's actual handle, well, see you later, Stunt Granny Maze, whatever my Twitter name is. I'm gonna rip Cam off and just change my name all the damn time so you can't tell if it's actually him or not.
and another gem was, what is your reputation worth to the Michael Torreses of the world?
The lawyer really said this.
This is an actual quote from the closing arguments today.
This is fantastic. that's when you break out, and this is why I love wrestling. Because, of course, this ridiculousness would happen in a wrestling trial.
Was it Mr. Litoris? Is that what it was?
Mr. Litoris was his last name. First name one.
That's so fucking stupid. Alright, so there's Mike Litoris 69. Of course, Mike Litoris 69.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would guess that pretty much every variation of 69 is taken up at this point. Like, that is just my assumption.
Okay. Well, I'm getting back off Twitter, because I don't know why anyone uses it anyways. Okay, so. I think you should be able to toss out a case, though, based on ridiculous evidence.
I mean, I guess that goes back to the how did this thing get this far? You know, someone reviewing this is just like, oh, yeah, this should be heard by a judge. Like, I mean, that does need to happen. So, I'm not quite sure why it got through that stage of things. Like, no, this guy's reputation was not damaged at all. Like, when some of the backstage people might have been skeptical of his treatment methods,
well, you know what?
Is, like, the worst evidence. That's still not very harsh.
You know what? It is damaged now. That's the funny part.
Yeah, reading some of the stuff that came out, he was constantly giving Z-packs to guys, or he was giving them undocumented medicine. I wish Shahid was on, I'm pretty sure, that's a major no-no. Like, you can't just give out prescriptions to guys without it being documented. I mean, that just sounds like you're asking, well, basically, legal trouble, if anything else. Because you pretty much have to document all that stuff.
Yeah, law. I mean, come on, you've got to present an ID just to get Claritin, so.
Yeah. Goddamn meth heads.
Yeah,
Isn't it? Robitussin, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I don't need to watch Breaking Bad to know that. So. Yeah, so, I mean, that's got to be... can you have... If during a trial you're exposed to have been doing illegal activity, can you be investigated based off of that? Because don't you think this would warrant, like, you know, some sort of, I don't know, some sort of other eyeballs on this, because you're breaking the law.
If anything, that would be something that's just like, we kind of need to look into what the WWE is doing here. Like, it seems like one of those cases where you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, the opposite need, you know, because, like, CM Punk is, you know, basically presenting a malpractice case.
With the doctor's own admission, which is even more astounding.
Right. So, yeah, that's the other thing that's weird about it is that, you know, the doctor's the one that screwed up, and for some reason, it's CM Punk's fault? Question mark?
Yeah.
And Punk was letting him off easy by only going on the podcast and really not even mentioning his name really more than once. People have gone back and listened to it to find out. Yeah, this guy, you know, Punk could have gone after him for malpractice, but he chose not to, and now this guy, all this has come out, and then all the stuff about how on the WWE side of things, they let Punk's stay in the Royal Rumble for over 40 minutes with a concussion, and then sent Kane out to throw him into the dasher boards and put him through a table.
Didn't that seem a little weird? Like, if they know you have a concussion, why would they put him through a table? There was something off about that story, which, I mean, I guess...
Or they at least... Know. There was a reason enough to believe that there may have been a concussion. But Punk, Punk refused to leave the ring.
Well, yeah, you are not always of sound mind and judgment when you have a concussion. I'm just gonna
That's true too.
Throw that out there from personal experience. You may be able to function, but it is not really you cannot look out for yourself at that time.
Yeah, he said he was seeing what squiggly lines and stars and all that. But also, you hear about those guys that had concussions, and they don't even remember. Like, was it Tommy Dreamer always had the stuff where he would have matches and get concussed, whatever. I think Bully Ray had one, too, or Bubba Ray, whichever we're going with. I mean, he said he had one that he doesn't remember the match. I think it was one of the latter matches in Bubba Ray's case. He got nailed and doesn't remember, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it, but then if he's lucid enough to remember talking to the doctor and doing all this stuff, then I would guess, you know, he wasn't concussed, or he didn't lose his, you know, that time frame or whatever, so.
Right.
I don't know. But, yeah, it's just a weird thing, and I didn't read any of the testimony, like, why AJ Lee was testifying, but she testified, so that had to be kind of weird. And then also what we're forgetting is, CM Punk's got a fight in 3 days? No, what's today, Tuesday?
Yeah, four days.
Whatever it is. I
mean, yeah, 4 days.
That can't be good, right?
No, and supposedly he starts heavy media for the fight, especially locally in Chicago on Thursday. That means unless he's been training like late at night, he has not been trained in about the last week and a half. his training camp is in Milwaukee, and he chooses to drive to and from Milwaukee every day from Chicago when he isn't a fight camp, which is 3 hours round trip, by the way.
Oh, see, I thought he rented a place or had a place.
Yeah,
Was that from the last fight?
No, he's always done the Milwaukee thing. He's always ended up at that camp.
Well, yeah, I knew that he was at that.
I thought that he had actually moved there. Yeah. But I must have been mistaken with the first fight.
Oh, no, he's Chicago born and bred. He's never leaving Chicago. That's his town.
No, I know that, but when he was training, yeah, I think it was the last one, when he said that they actually had rented an apartment.
Oh, maybe he did. Well, obviously time that was not able to do that with...
He's going to get murdered, because besides all this stuff going on, well, on top of this stuff going on, I should say, they were showing, like, the hype video for that thing. I don't even know the guy's name that he's fighting. Looking at the guy, ooh, is he going to hurt CM Punk? Because that guy has had some fast-ass hands. And CM Punk in the same training doc did not have fast hands at all. So, I'm basing
the last ass-kicking that CM Punk got.
Yeah. But, because I didn't realize that the guy he's fighting also lost to Mickey Gall as well. So.
Oh.
I guess that's what they're going for. These two, and then whoever wins, gets to fight Mickey Gall again, I would guess. That's how UFC does stuff.
I doubt that they're gonna do that. I don't know if I see either of these guys fighting in the UFC again. I mean, they stopped booking Mickey Gall, and he even beat Sage Northcutt in a fight on Fox. But then they realized that there wasn't any more further up that they could take Mickey Gall with his level of experience. So,
well, that sucks. The guy won. I mean,
yeah, he beaten someone who'd been featured on major UFC shows. So, but I mean, obviously he was there because of his looks and other factors other than his fight credentials. But he still beat a featured fighter.
That's weird.
I've heard nothing about him. He never signed with Bellator I haven't heard a beep from Mickey Gall in the last year and a half.
He's been on the Legion of Skanks podcast. I know he had another fight that he lost in UFC. So, I don't know.
Let me see. Maybe they booked him again. I guess I'll admit to not following that closely. Maybe he fought again after the Northcutt fight.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with his body of work after CM Punk at all. Like, I try to watch as much UFC as I can, but he definitely was not on any of the bigger shows, that's for sure.
Yeah, he beat Sage Northcutt. I think he lost a guy named Randy Brown, I'm trying to find. But anyway, he's a good podcast guest, so he's pretty honest, pretty funny.
Okay, the last time he fought in UFC then was November of 2017, that's not that long ago. That's okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's the last time I see him fighting. Huh. Wikipedia doesn't say anything about upcoming fights, so.
Well, they kind of decide them at the last minute anyway, so.
Yeah.
Might not get much of it.
So.
Yeah. That is kind of about the WWE, but not really about the WWE.
Well, I mean, now, I can't imagine that there's going to be an appeal, right? I mean, dude, you got your ass handed to you. It only took them 2 hours to deliberate. And in, like, the legal world, that's a pretty resounding no. Like, we do not believe you or whatever. So... I see my cousin Vinny, and they said if whenever the verdict comes back quick, it's never good. So, my cousin Vinny.
Yeah, well, I honestly was going to ask if Chris Amon was shuffled out of court by Constable Baron Corbin or not.
this one go, huh?
Why wow, would I let this one go?
I wish we had a sound effects, because mentioning Constable Corbin, no one said anything. I had a quick one-liner, and all we needed was a and then a car crash right after it. Wow. Holy shit. Let's see. So, let's see. What part of the Constable... is he going to be a peace officer with limited policing authority, typically in a small town? Well, it can't be, because we already know the WWE is a global company. Or is he going to be the governor of a royal castle?
I hope he's the governor of a royal castle.
Well, he is the governor of Titan Tower, or whatever they call it now. Hey! He went to Stephanie McMahon's office, and she gave him the job. I guess she was going to give the job to the next person she saw that day, so it might as well be Baron Corbin.
Now, I wonder if she gave it to him as the undercover boss, or if she had to wait until she was not undercover.
That's such an...
You can't do a celebrity... I mean, the regular version of that show is, I'm sure, staged enough. You cannot do a celebrity version of that show and have any place in reality. Although the memes have really fired off about Stephanie's blonde suburban mom look. The memes have been popping. I will say that.
That is the best part of this. I had no idea that Undercover Boss was still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that it's still a thing. I did not care previously that it was a thing. I got my own little Dr. Seuss going on now, so yeah, whatever with that show.
Well, I put in Stephanie McMahon blonde, and all the pictures that come up are from either SmackDown or Raw, when she used to wear really revealing and low-cut shirts. So, if you lose me for a little while during the show, I'll be back in 10 to 15 minutes.
We will keep that in mind. Baron Corbin, to me, is one of those weird cases where it's easy to point out that some guys get a billion chances before they're given up on, and other people get a chance. And it's kind of easy, the people that are given a lot of chances, to say, oh, just hang in there. Always try something new. They need to have faith in the gimmick to go with it.
It came totally out of left field. I guess this means Stephanie Head does not plan to appear much this summer, so that's why Baron Corbin was put in this role.
What's he been doing otherwise? No, seriousness.
He lost the Money in the Bank qualifier a few weeks back, and a whole lot of nothing ever since before the shakeup. I guess they have an idea to put Baron Corbin in as a rival for Kurt Angle, so that Kurt Angle could have an opponent for SummerSlam that he can just beat, or something. It's definitely a different type of role for the guy. The part he played during the aftermath of the six woman tag, I thought that interaction was okay, especially with him having to use logic to overturn a decision to give it to the heels, and then for him to be browbeating the ref involved. I, I didn't think he did badly in his part. It's just weird.
This is where it always gets funny, that with the rules part. He was correct, Bayley was not part of the match. But then anytime someone cheats and something goes on, it has to be pointed out. But I know WWE doesn't do that. They pick and choose what they want to instill. But whatever happened, and if you remember, what happened to the referee's decision being final?
Well, and that's where part of the problem is. Roman Reigns, just later in the show.
There you go.
You know, like, you don't even have to go the whole show. You know, Roman Reigns, oh, sorry, dude, you actually won that cage match because your feet hit the ground first, but sorry, ref's decision's final. So why wasn't the ref's decision final in the women's match? He let Bayley slide. They were down a partner. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. And then I know I saw an exchange on Twitter about this, but what about, was it Jinder DDT Seth on
the
chair?
No, Elias DDT Seth on the chair.
Okay, so no disqualification. And I know somebody, I don't know who it was on Twitter, but said they actually had that conversation and since Seth brought the chair into the ring, then it's not a disqualification.
It was Lance Storm that mentioned that he actually had that conversation, which was kind of hilarious. But because I just want to picture Lance Storm having this conversation.
Yeah. But it's just like, huh? I that doesn't make any sense to me. But and it's like, he's a constable. He's the police, or he's a lord in his own castle. Well, what then? If he's going to do this, why isn't Kurt? What purpose does Kurt Angle serve?
I guess he's still matchmaker. Like, they didn't say he was.
Yes.
Yeah, Baron Corbin. I don't believe he has the authority to make matches. I don't believe he has the authority to do anything except make suggestions to Kurt and then tell him, well, you really need to do this or I'm gonna tell Stephanie.
Alright.
Yeah, he's a tattletale to keep Kurt in line, but of course, like those other things that we've mentioned, this will be selectively used, I'm sure, as things move along here.
Yeah, and it's like, is it that important to get Baron Corbin on TV when you've got a better version in Drew Galloway already? I mean, Drew Galloway is a heel. I'm not trying to hijack it to talk about, but talking about Baron Corbin can only go on for so long.
What? I thought we could do 20 on him.
I can't believe we're still talking about it. But it Galloway is a heel is really good. And I think when the last time I was on the show, we actually talked about Galloway in, Drew McIntyre, excuse me, I was using his real name. That McIntyre, he wasn't really hitting that well with the NXT audience, because he was trying to be a babyface.
Yes, the scowling babyface.
Yeah, and now they got him on Raw as the scowling heel, who, yeah, he doesn't look like a pleasant person, it just fits. And the people, I think, take him seriously, too. Unlike Baron Corbin, where it's like, oh, this dipshit again? Like, when I was in New Orleans, and I don't remember if you remember this, Kevin, but Cam, you know, went to, I can't remember if it was like some symposium or whatever it was, and Baron Corbin was there, and he kept trying to convince us that Baron Corbin's got it. They just need to let him do his thing. He's got it, this and this. I trust Cam's judgment on some of this stuff. I can't trust him on this one.
It's one of those things that even for me, like, I understand what Cam's saying, because I've heard him, I'm trying to think of what podcasts he's been on. I'm like, oh man, this guy really seems like he can be a talker. I think he was on with Jericho because they had the, you know, heavy metal rock and roll thing kind of in common.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, because I had no idea he dated Maria Brink. I was like, oh, man. Hot damn, son. if from In This Moment, if you're not familiar, by the way.
That's what I'm looking up, thanks. Oh, well, hi.
Yeah, so, you know, the guy does have a lot of personality. That's why I said to you, really, even earlier today on IM, I don't know why they haven't been able to find a way to translate his personality in onto TV at all. Like, because I even remember people, oh, and I think Chris was one, advocating Baron Corbin on Talking Smack. Like, the guy's had different forums that he's done well on, but for some reason, when he has a microphone and is walking to the ring, he's a disaster.
And what was one of the things I said, though? It's, and I forgot about Talking Smack and how he was actually pretty enjoyable on there. The big problem is the people writing the words. He doesn't seem to be one of those guys that can do scripted stuff. Now, whether that's what's written for him is bad, or if he's just not good at remembering and delivering. Some guys aren't good actors, but some guys are good improvisers. And he may be one of those guys. But the talking's one part, but then honestly, he's not that interesting. Like, he's tall. He's like a bigger dude, but he's not that big. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, his look is still a problem. Like, when you have Braun Strowman on the roster, or even Drew Galloway, like, I kind of forgot how big that guy is. Like, yeah. And I know that I watched him in TNA, which is why I didn't even blink when you said Galloway, honestly, instead of McIntyre. I guess it didn't even quite dawn on me when he was there, but standing next to Ziggler, I'm like, holy shit, man. So, yeah, there are a lot of guys that are kind of close to his size. I mean, you could even say, for as bad as he's been too, Big Cass.
Ugh.
You know, like, but at least physically, he looks more intimidating than Baron Corbin.
I actually disagree with that. I think Big Cass looks like a failed college basketball player. He does not look like a menacing tough guy. I think Corbin, with his kind of bikerish look, does look like a tougher, meaner guy. But there's other things with Corbin's look and presentation that just don't work as well. The receding hairline, the shirt he has to wear because he has a very large belly button, which we made fun of before here. Yeah, there's other things, I think, with his presentation, to me, that just don't work for him. There are things that do that could, but he just doesn't look like a star. I think he actually looks like someone who would be intimidating to come across in a bar setting, but he doesn't look like a star.
I don't think I disagree with that, but
yeah, well, something's not clicking for him, so he's definitely got some problems, or else we wouldn't be talking about how many chances this guy's gotten and hasn't really gotten anywhere. You know,
But what do you mean by chances? Because he's always been, like, seemingly sustained doing something. Like, he's never really had, like, a time off, you know? He's never had any of his stuff taken away.
But he hasn't even got, John Cena push.
He did have something taken away. His Money in the Bank briefcase.
Well, and that's true.
That pretty much killed him dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did that take his push away, though?
He's
for a little bit, because it seemed like they were mad at him. He was in the doghouse or something, because he came off of that and had a really short, crappy match with John Cena at SummerSlam. But then they decided to push him again for the UFC and give him a U.S. title win, and then a clean win over AJ Styles on SmackDown.
But then he lost two weeks later.
Yeah, but which AJ Styles still has never still hasn't gotten back from him, even after he won the WWE Championship. And then, but then they took the U.S. title from him. They had him job to Bobby Roode a bunch of times. He didn't even.
That's for another discussion.
What? He took a glorious ass beating this week. What's not to like about Bobby Roode?
Oh, we'll get to that too. But no, it has been a start and stop, push for Baron Corbin where they run hot and cold on him, which kills him. It kills a lot of people. You still hear that he's an office favorite, and that he's going to be in line for a push someday. And this might be their new way of doing it. To get him into a position to have a match with Kurt Angle, but then he'll probably lose that match and go back down the card again until they decide to push him again. And they'll still never find that spark with him.
So this is all right. So this is something I was thinking about with Baron Corbin as well, and he's not terrible in the ring, right? He's not the best, okay. And this thought came to me when I was watching SmackDown, and really when Carmella was talking. Is this like the last generation of superstars? I'll say superstars, use their language. Of superstars who basically can't work that well getting called up, because it seems like they've cleaned out NXT of the projects. You got Big Cass and Enzo, all right. And we can talk about Enzo later if you want, because I finally listened to his rap video. And we got Big Cass, not that great. Corbin, not that great. Enzo, ugh. Carmella, not that great. Lana, well, she was never really supposed to be a wrestler. But you see, like, Mojo Rawley. You see where I'm going? And then you look at NXT now, most of those guys can go.
And they already could go before WWE even signed them. Except for Velveteen Dream, really.
Yeah, true.
There's a handful. There's a handful of the legit athletes we've got. Who were cherry picked to go into the system.
Well, yeah, and Charlotte's always one to bring up that, she didn't really have any prior experience. Who's excelling? Yeah, there are a lot of. There are definitely more fails than successes to me.
But I'm gonna defend Carmella here. Okay. Right now, the rule is not to have a badass. Great worker, world beater, champion. It's to have a big mouth champion who is easily beatable to be the bridge between Charlotte and Asuka, and to get us back to Charlotte, and to help get us back, transition back to Charlotte and Asuka in time for SummerSlam. And for that, she is playing her role well.
Well, all right, no. I'm not getting on the case of her being badass. The character's fine. With so many people on the roster being highly capable in the ring, then you've got Carmella, or you've got Baron Corbin for that matter. All the guys who, guys and gals, I gotta be even in this stuff nowadays. That it's the personality doesn't weigh up with anything else. The in-ring work does not match what was going on before. Now the people who are going to be called up are going to have the personality and going to have the in-ring ability, so that you can't get away with having an average match anymore, or below average for that matter. Even though that all depends on agent and time allotment, all that stuff.
Did you see Backlash?
Which one was Backlash?
The last pay-per-view that was one of the worst shows of in years.
I think I put that show out of my mind.
Where they let Carmella and Charlotte go over 10 minutes, and they let Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax go over 10 minutes, and they put... I could go on.
Yeah, okay, that show. Well, I mean, even I forgot you can add Nia Jax to that. I mean, they're pushing her in whatever goofy way. She ain't all that great in the ring either.
No, she was. No. She was really bad on last Monday night. Yeah. Oh. This match with Rousey is definitely going to be very. It's going to be really interesting to watch, to see, you know, how they get out of this. They're going to it so quickly. They just turned Nia Jax. Let's even putting her in-ring work aside. Her character work has just been a mess these last couple months.
And I don't really blame her for that though.
No, that I don't.
She doesn't write stuff for herself. And she's in no position to say no to anything.
Yeah.
So.
And she especially not so much this week, because this week was definitely more of a train wreck. But last week she performed everything incredibly well. This week was definitely a train wreck from the moment they put Ronda Rousey on headset to the actual match itself, to the clumsy nature of the injury and the follow up and the acting. It was this week was all bad.
Well, that's what's funny. I was watching on YouTube that somebody asked Ronda Rousey, this was in her UFC days, about like equal pay, this and this, and the personality was insane. I mean, she was intimidating in a press conference, and then you get her in these scripted things. It's like, it's not doing her any favors. Like funny enough, people want to cheer her, which I don't think was expected. But now we're not given anything to really cheer, because we were just told that this monster Nia Jax is actually a really nice person, and she was bullied her whole life, and this and this and this, and now all of a sudden she's being a bully. And it's like, well, wait a goddamn minute. Make up your mind how we're supposed to feel about her. I mean, I saw through that facade immediately because I'm not a fucking 6-year-old, but it's just dumb. Whatever. I got off the point. I tried bringing it up, but I have a big problem with Nia Jax and how they do all that stuff with her, but whatever. It's not her fault. Like I said, that's her job. So she does not have the stroke to say no to anything. So.
Well, yeah. It to me, it's mostly been the flip-flopping character that's been the problem. And like you said, her in-ring work is still, you know, not the best. It's, you know, there are so many people that do a good job in the ring that the bad ones stand out, especially like you said, even with the ladies now, there are enough good ones that when you see a bad one, it's just like, ooh.
And this is going to be Ronda Rousey's first singles match against Nia Jax, and Nia Jax who you know, works every house show. So this isn't like WrestleMania. This is not this. This can't be a match that's practiced for weeks on end. They're gonna have to figure this out like the day of, the weekend of, and figure out what they can do with each other. Depending on how long the match is gonna be and the finish, of course.
Well, if they gave other bad wrestlers
Rousey
at least 10 minutes,
win, right?
I guess I don't think so. They keep on giving her every out on the planet. She admits that she's not ready, you know, and that's kind of been the other thing that's weird about it, is that Jax is pushing the whole issue, and Ronda Rousey's like, hey, I'm given, you know, I've been given the opportunity. What am I, you know, I'm going to prepare for it. I want to whoop her ass, and I can completely agree with that message. You know, she kind of realizes that she's in a bad spot. And, you know, other superstars shouldn't be giving her a hard time, because I mean, it was even on camera that she wasn't the one choosing the match or calling the shot.
No, you did make, they make a good point about it potentially being an out. Now, not that if I was in charge here, I would be having Ronda Rousey lose in her second televised match. But there might be a psychology here of the one thing people will always have to throw in Ronda Rousey's face. That questions her integrity is that she's a sore loser, and that when she loses, she tucks her tail and runs away. There's a way you can tell a story of her suffering a major loss in WWE and having her fight her way to come back from it to make her a stronger babyface, even, you know, amongst the people who are the people who throw her UFC losses and subsequent reaction into her face.
Who do you think they want to have the title on when they go do, like, public appearances and try and get press and all that stuff?
And that's true, too. She could just win. Win it.
Yeah.
Because, so, you know, they just don't want her, you know, her Ronda Rousey working her way up through mid-card matches against the likes of Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, and Natalya without the title at stake, you know, doing the slow build to a title challenge just doesn't make sense with who she is and what she's paid. So
there
just put
you
the
go.
Title on, so put the title on her and have her, you know, turn back the challenger of the month.
Yeah, and
yeah,
the prestige that she carries. Because, I mean, what was the story from the SmackDown, like the Fox deal for TV? They actually had, like, a picture of her holding Triple H with, like, the Fox Sports 1 logo or whatever on it.
And I guess so, that will be interesting come next year, you know, which show she'll be on. Because as of right now, you could say Nia Jax because of the size situation. You know, that's kind of an ideal opponent, you know, in a perfect world where we don't have to worry about, you know, work rate. But the two big opponents for Ronda Rousey down the line are Asuka and Charlotte, and they are both on SmackDown.
Yeah, well, and also with, you know, SmackDown going to Fox, you're going to want someone recognizable, like big-time recognizable on there. I mean, how many, what is it, $1 billion, or what is it?
Yep,
is it
$1 billion
for the TV rights for SmackDown?
Yep.
Over 5 years? Although
yeah.
technically, if all the entertainment industry rumors are true, the Raw deal will be for more money, but there's more prestige in being on network primetime.
Yeah, which is weird because, and I'm going to get burned on this one, but I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and for some reason the CW superhero shows still, that aren't named Black Lightning and Legends of Tomorrow. I don't watch network TV at all, so it's like the prestige of that is actually gone. At least in my eyes, but not in advertisers' eyes, I guess.
And that's what matters. Like, I do watch some network stuff. It's pretty limited. I would say that probably 75% of the stuff I watch is cable.
They say 30% more of the country still only has the antenna that gets their local channels. So there is a higher potential audience there.
I mean, just because I guess because we don't follow it doesn't mean Jimmy Jack and Bumfuck Nowhere doesn't. So.
And Jimmy Jack, if you're listening, we are very happy to have you here. I know it took you about 12 hours to download this. So you must really be a fan.
So let's get this straight. So Jimmy Jack and Bumfuck Nowhere here only gets was it four networks, five networks of CW? You really think he listens to wrestling podcasts, huh?
He's got to have a computer and dial up, probably.
Okay, since it's the industry I'm in, there really is dial-up still.
Yes, there is. I've seen it.
And I think I've said this on this show before. Those people don't deserve to have the internet. That's just how it works. If you have a landline, and I won't go so far as to say, well, you shouldn't own a house, but there's no reason for a landline anymore. And there's next to no need. Anything you're doing on the internet is not important if you're using a dial-up connection. And I'm trying to be very nice about this.
Well,
if you have DSL, okay.
Does the dial-up go quicker these days?
If you have DSL or dial-up, you're on government assistance anyways, so you don't really care. You're not paying for it. But then it's just the rest of us. There's an inside joke there that only one person's going to get. And that's the only reason why I went with the government assistance. So, anyways, so yeah, if you listen on dial up, go fuck yourself. You're bringing this country down, possibly the world. So,
yeah, does that run any faster these days?
Back, asshole.
Do you know?
I'm just gonna spiral out of control here. So
this show's just off the fucking rails.
What?
That's why I'm not on much.
That's why I'm here as the constable of Stunt Granny.
Oh, boo! Well, you know the kicker of this is? I think this show's actually recording. I have no idea how this is recording, but my call recorder's working.
Well, that's good to know that we have backup, I suppose.
I didn't say it did work. It says it appears to be recording. So... what the fuck?
Oh, okay, so well, if we were not quick. Fully off the rails, so I think we have entered that.
Video, I can't even get audio to work. For any of those who listen to We Watch Stuff, we haven't been on the last few weeks because my house got broken into. Who do you think would be by some crackhead? It wasn't. Go figure. Anyways, they stole my laptop. Finally got a new laptop. I got this bullshit piece of app hardware. The Skype app that Rashid and I record on, which behind the scenes, that's what we're recording on too. You can't download the desktop version anymore, which works perfectly. All of a sudden, this thing starts working. So we watch stuff maybe back tomorrow. Who knows? So I think Ramadan's over as well, so Rashid will be in a better mood. I think it's over. I'm not sure.
He has a couple more days to go.
Our last show, we were talking about it. Even the Muslims didn't even know when it started this year. I was like, do you guys not have a calendar? Just pick a goddamn date. Ugh.
No, those silly lunar calendars really throw everyone off.
Yeah. He said he actually started a day early. He's like, I ain't got time for this. I'm just starting. I'm like, well, you just not.
Yeah, or just keep eating like normal.
Yeah, pretty simple. Hey, congrats on your 20-pound water weight loss, asshole.
Jesus.
Ever since the house got broken into, I am so full of hate that I don't care. I got no time. Dumb shit, and that's all I work with for a bunch of them. Windows 10 can suck a dick. The whole thing's fucking terrible. Now we got Baron Corbin as the Constable of Raw. How about you give me some matches worth watching? Right, how about this? How about you don't give us a women's gauntlet match that lasts 15 minutes? Are you kidding? I think I was hitting you up, right, Kevin, during that?
You hit me up after about it.
Oh, no. It was the dance-off.
You hit me up during the dance-off last week, yes.
Holy shit. So they keep pushing us, women's evolution, and then they have a dance-off? How about you just let them wrestle? Just go back. Break out the pillows and the oil and crap. Make up your mind. Do you want to? I know it's not as bad as a lingerie pillow fight. Okay.
Well,
you're still treating the women like idiots.
It helps that both of those ladies were professionals. in one form of dancing or another.
And what's the difference between that and the rap battle between the Usos and the New Day last year?
One was good. Because it also fit their characters, too. And also, we're not hearing all this car stuff about, well, the men's evolution. They're giving this a chance. And they say, okay, no, it's the same stuff disguised as garbage. It just, like, as much as I really didn't like Becky Lynch and Charlotte going on and having a match today with no build-up or anything, at least that was a match, you know? And it lasted, what, 10 minutes? You know, that's a real indication of it just happened. And maybe, and you know what, as I'm saying this, maybe it's still a sensitivity to how bad it was for the women. And it's still, luckily they have factions for the women now, so that you get more than the same four people having matches. But it's still not great, you know, it could be a lot better still.
Well, I still think they have the problem that they don't trust Lana in the ring at all.
Don't blame them.
Because even her qualifying match was very short.
Yeah. Yes. And I think I was bitching about that, too. So
yeah, that's kind of the problem, is that they want to tell the story of Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank, but unfortunately, the Mrs. part is going to be really hard to pull off.
Yeah.
Well, in Money in the Bank, you could just not have her get knocked out early and then come back, get knocked out again, do a spot where she looks like she's going to sneak up and grab the briefcase and then gets knocked down. Unless she's going to win the damn thing, which I highly doubt. I they can't go there with her.
Okay, so you were going where I was going to go. And this goes back to the people that can't work or can't work as well as the other people. You cannot have Lana win this thing. Who else is in this? Charlotte, Becky, Lana, Naomi?
Yes. Ember Moon.
Alexa, Ember, Sasha, Natalya.
Okay. But right now they were saying Natalya's hurt, and who was the other person that they were saying was hurt on Raw last night?
But Alexa Bliss, but that was a fake injury.
Okay,
obvious.
So, all those people, you can't have Lana win.
She can't even lick, Carmella's boots, you know, as far as even being slightly competent in the ring.
Oh, I was like, depending on the site you go to. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. I know that one.
It starts with an X, right? Okay. Anyways, but no, and that's what I'm getting at, is like, you can't have, and like, of those women, the one to win it the most, that's a Ronda Rousey problem, I guess. It would have to be a SmackDown person, wouldn't it?
I don't see them turning anybody. I don't think Becky or Naomi would work as heels at all, or at least not without some type of, you know, bigger. Granted, you still have a year, but that's the thing we kind of forget about with Money in the Bank, is because there are immediate cash-ins, and then there's what Carmella did. You know, you can wait till after next year's WrestleMania. A lot of things can change by then. So I guess anybody could win it. I mean, it's a heel gimmick, and it should stay a heel gimmick. I mean, the few times they've I guess they've had a babyface do it the same way the heels do it, but it should typically be a heel, or the impetus for a heel turn.
Yeah, and I think Becky Lynch could do it because we haven't seen it.
Well, she was a heel in NXT, and she did pretty good. But I think that Becky Lynch is one of the people who has absolutely grown since NXT.
I think the one person that you obviously that just can't. She tried before. And I've said this repeatedly, that the Trinity Fatu, the person, I can't see. Like, I can see her arguing with, you know, getting in arguments between couples, whatever. I can't take her seriously. I just can't see her as a heel. She's such a sweet person. And you know what? Maybe she's got it in her, but a real true heel, I just don't see it, man. So
Yeah,
that's where I think Becky would fit the most. Probably a heel turn.
But if down the line, Becky could do the heel turn. Obviously, I'm on, because there's only two solid heels in this entire match, and one of them is Lana. And the other is Alexa Bliss, who's just coming off of a year and a half run of always being in the championship match. She does not need that briefcase.
Yeah. But it's also a prime spot for Sasha to win. And, like, if Natalya's not in it, then Bayley will be in it, and she can fuck over Bayley. Then we can maybe finally get this stupid feud of theirs going. The feud that's never really started but hasn't ever stopped. The weirdest thing.
That is a perfect description. I'm not sure that we used those words last week, but that is the perfect way to sum it up.
Yeah, that is the best way. That is the perfect way to sum it up. Good job, Jared.
But seriously, guys, don't you want to see those two go at it? With their old matches, if they really let them go, it's like, God, just get a move on already. And knowing that the pay-per-views now are going to be 4 hours long without the pre-show, they give them time. Yeah. Get moving. Push that cart downhill. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm impatient. So.
Well, no, you're not. At least in this instance, you're not. Like, they haven't given you any reason to believe the string out, because they started the feud, stopped it once for quite a long time. And then they started it up, and I mean, they really teased it for several months. And then they're like, oh, nah, everything's cool again this week. I'm just like,
they were going to hug it out, and then got interrupted. And I'm like, is that like they were going to kiss and got interrupted? It was so weird.
No, I don't. Right. That would definitely set back the women's division more than a dance off.
I didn't even mean it like a sexual way. I mean, like in the 80s, like romantic comedy sort of dumb shit. Where it's like they're just about to do something and they break them up. I mean, I know it was a point, but. And then Sasha looks mad at her. Like, since when does winning and losing matter on Raw to begin with?
Oh. Well, yeah, that was the one thing that kind of cracked me up. Like, that it had never crossed the other ladies' minds that this was a bad idea. Like, they didn't try to stop Bayley from coming in the ring. Sasha tagged her. Like, she's almost as much at fault for what happened as anyone else.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing the thing, which is a distinct possibility, so.
And I'm trying to. I guess I'm trying to think of what some of the other big things that did happen this week. Outside of, I mean, I think we got the ladies covered pretty well. Braun Strowman breaking a ladder. Does this even crack the top 10 of Braun Strowman feats of strength?
Pretty cool, but yeah, I'd say top 10. Yeah, that. He broke an aluminum ladder in half. That's pretty cool. And also, Bobby, it wasn't so much it happening. I mean, that was cool, but Bobby Roode was in pretty good position, even though he's... Oh, Bobby Roode's another wrestler, by the way, Chris. Just in case we forget. He used to be something, and now he's just whatever. He did a pretty good job of selling it. So, you know, got to give Bobby some credit on that one. So, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there were a lot of good facials this week on WWE TV. I would have to say it started out nearly a week ago with Velveteen Dream reacting to Ricochet.
Oh, thank you.
Hurdling the ropes.
How fucking awesome was that? And I don't know if that's something that Ricochet does all the time. I honestly don't remember him doing that as Prince Puma. But, I sent that around. Like, even people who don't watch wrestling, I sent that around. And it was just unanimous. Holy shit. I was like, yeah. Because part of it was the audacity to do that in a live setting. You know? He messes it up. And, well, I guess you just take it off TV. But, you know. someone's going to catch on a cell phone. And then we get...
Well, I still... I'm most impressed by the landing still on that.
Yeah.
Like, because he kind of overshot hitting the flat part of the outside and still caught himself completely balanced on an angled ramp, which is crazy. And the fact that he didn't break his ankle doing that, either of his ankles doing that, is even further craziness.
Oh, shit, I was thinking he didn't blow his knees out. I mean, my knees start hurting, dude. that's just nuts. But why do you watch wrestling? Because it's awesome, and you send them that. And then they turn on Raw, and there's Baron Corbin knocking over a taco stand. Cool.
Well, you don't think that your non-wrestling fans would be impressed with Curt Hawkins trying to break his 0-199 losing streak?
Probably not, no. But I think they'd appreciate him tossing that poor bastard around. Because, oh boy. I honestly thought Kurt was getting rolled up to lose. So I was like, alright, this is fine. I mean, you know, he's not exactly a huge deal. But at the same time, you can't embarrass somebody who's not going to be on the roster. At least like the 1-2-3 Kid thing, the most famous one. Or Barry Horowitz, who was the original 1-2-3 Kid. Was that after?
That was after.
I don't care. You know what? Barry Horowitz won in Global Wrestling. Or no. Was it Global? Or USWA Wrestling. When he became Barry Horowitz the Winner. And you could order his videotape on how to be a winner like Barry Horowitz. Yeah. That's how big of a Barry Horowitz fan I am. That's all real, by the way, for anyone listening.
I have not thought about Barry Horowitz in quite some time, actually.
How? He's the greatest jobber ever. Who's better? Who was better than Barry? Wait, Steve Lombardi? Whatever. He got a gimmick out of it. Barry Horowitz was just Barry Horowitz.
I did always like the... I cannot tell you how frequently Brian and I would pat ourselves on the back like Barry Horowitz.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We definitely wanted the jacket with the hand on the back of it, 100%.
See? That's so... We would have those nowadays. In fact, why don't they get him on a Legends deal so we can get that? A Barry Horowitz shirt?
Oh, yeah, the WWE cannot contain themselves and has to put something on the back of a shirt. So, yeah, having the Barry Horowitz hand back there would be perfect. I mean, it'd fit in with the WWE design ideals.
It's only funny because it's absolutely true. You can't just have a shirt.
Oh. No, you can buy other indie wrestler shirts with nothing on the back. But for some reason, the WWE needs to have something on the back. It drives me bonkers.
Trying to think who started that. Was it Austin?
I don't think
it
so.
It might have been Austin that started that trend. Because it was the Austin 316, and on the back it said, I'm going to whip your ass, right? The original shirt is what I'm talking about, obviously.
Oh, I'd have to look that up. Maybe it did.
I think, what, you're talking about the original Austin 316 shirt?
Yeah.
I don't think that one had anything but the WWF logo on the back. Amazingly, I never owned that one. But
no, I never had that one either.
I don't believe it had anything on the back. The original shirt was very, very simple.
No, if I'm looking at the right one, the original shirt had a skull that said Stone Cold on the back.
Oh. Maybe it did.
Maybe.
The skull sounds familiar, but I feel like the first shirt had that thing on the back, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking all over. I don't know how many of these are bootlegs, but there are some that don't have anything on the back, so. All right.
Yep.
Anyway.
But left that is undecided, amazing, though. For sure. Sell an Austin C316 shirt with nothing on the back. Just put a skull design on the back, and it's a brand new shirt that I'm sure the same people bought all over again.
The greatest marketer ever. Is that what we named him, Kevin?
Oh.
Every single Monday night after a pay-per-view, brand new shirt. Without fail.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah, he was somehow even better than The Rock at that. Although The Rock is clearly better now, but... because that guy is the marketing whore. Yeah, Steve Austin always had a new shirt after the pay-per-views. Like, he really got that ball rolling on making sure to have updated shirts almost constantly.
I think, seen it doesn't even come close, to be honest, but...
No, he changes his, like, every season. Like, he has, like, four every year.
Yeah, and then New Day's got at least four every year now, too.
Yeah.
Some of their stuff's starting to look a little weak, so...
Yeah.
Well, the whole gimmick's getting a little weak and long in the tooth.
I'm a sucker for orange.
Although I did like that Mr. Bootiesworth is an overweight white guy. I thought that was a good...
Yes. Okay, I see... I was with you, but I thought I was getting a little long in the tooth. I actually like today's. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the Miz. What was it, Miz Jitsu? He was practicing.
Yeah, I think that's what
yes.
He said, yeah.
Zach got a laugh. I'm like, okay. I don't know what Miz is doing, but that cracked me up. But yeah, and they come in and they're acting real serious, and you know it's not going to work out. You know they're not going to stay that way. And then, you know, got the match later. I don't know. Maybe in small doses. But, I mean, they're never going to turn heel again.
Right.
So,
No.
Discount that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I actually did like them tonight. And then I was actually spent the good chunk of the main event there, the six-man, going, okay, the New Day cannot... lose a six-man tag to this thrown-together team of people who are going to be fighting each other in 2 weeks. They just can't. And thankfully, they didn't. Because I'm a firm believer in that tag teams should be seen as, you know, specialists in their field, and that when singles wrestlers come together, they should be able to, you know, beat them.
Yeah, that's true, but that's not how it works anymore either. So, here's something. I don't remember who won the main event.
Oh,
New Day.
New Day did win? Okay.
Yeah. I just said that.
I blanked right out.
Yeah, well, it is kind of getting to that point of the evening for us East Coasters here. Anything else that really would need to be talked about before we shuffle on out of here?
All right, one, did any of this stuff need to be talked about? So you might want to check how you phrase that. We spent 10 minutes talking about Baron Corbin.
Oh, no, it's probably a solid 15.
Cool. So, yeah.
I almost got my wish. You helped drag that out far longer than it really was going to go. Like, we were at 10 minutes, and then you went on another diatribe that gave us a good solid 5 more minutes. So you can thank yourself.
Well, if we need to talk about one more thing, it should be the greatness of Shinsuke Nakamura during that contract signing. Oh my, he was on top of his game there. The whole bit with the pen and then, you know, getting AJ Styles all pissed off and enough to hit him, and then turns out he has a pen tucked in his jacket and then signs the contract. I thought that was great.
Okay. Yeah, ever since Shinsuke went heel, he's been awesome, and well, yeah, I really hope he takes the title at Money in the Bank.
Well, doesn't he qualify as worst heel turn in a while, though? Because people are still cheering him. Like, even though they got that awful music, you know, the newfangled music, people are still cheering the guy. Like, they don't care. So, I mean, I know he's supposed to be heel, but not really working out all that well. Even against AJ, who's beloved. But no, I mean, not that he's not awesome. Yeah, I mean, that stuff was cracking me up.
That, I guess that's kind of part of the problem is he's... I do think that they started to boo him at first, but he's already gotten to the point where it's just like, oh my god, he's such a smarmy dick that a lot of fans are kind of in our thought process and appreciate him being a smarmy dick. Yeah. So he ends up getting cheered, and it's, you know, it's kind of a lose-lose situation for them.
It's wrestling in 2018. It's hard to get heel heat. So you just get the entertainment where you can.
Yeah, well, that's what would help if, you know, they made the bad guys not actually baby faces. So that might help. But no,
what was babyface about that, though? Like, his whole act.
Well, all right, that was part of sarcasm. But the heels are the more interesting people. They do all the cool. They do all the cool stuff, or like they've got a personality that the baby faces flat out don't have. I mean, who's like a real big baby face? Like AJ Styles is.
Yeah, the biggest.
He's kind of a dick. All right, cool. Yeah, I can't think of anybody like Bobby the Lashley is supposed to be babyface. Boy, they have castrated that poor man.
Oh.
Because Elise goes, who's this? I'm like, Bobby Lashley? She goes, does he suck or something? I'm like, no, actually, he doesn't anymore. He wasn't the greatest back then, but he's a lot better. And this is atrocious. So.
Yeah, they have not given him anything to work with since coming back.
Yeah, but all the heels show personality. Well, the baby faces is like, durr, durr. Okay. I mean, look at Roman Reigns. He's supposed to be a baby face. I know it's a bad example, but okay. And then Seth Rollins is kind of a nerd as well.
But he definitely gets cheered, though.
Yeah. No, it's not.
So
it's not so much like getting cheered all the time. It's just. The heels are doing things that babyface, like, they've got the personalities that the babyfaces should have. Like, not so much the cool guy, but just an out-there personality. Like, they're in your, like, not in your face, but you understand the heels more than you understand the babyfaces. Even if they're saying mean stuff, I mean, serial killers are, for the most part, supposedly charismatic motherfuckers. I mean, look at for an old movie, look at Pulp Fiction. Samuel Jackson and John Travolta are hitmen. But they're charming, so we're like, oh, that sucks, John Travolta got killed. Oh, thank God, Samuel Jackson made it out. No, these are the bad guys, they should die. And that's kind of what WWE's got the problem now. Because I don't think the Pulp Fiction one worked. So anyways, we're trying to get out of here.
What? Are we?
This one
really?
Was off the cuff once, and I'm like, nah, I just failed. So, whatever.
That's okay, Shahid. We'll, you know.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to talk to someone.
He can listen to it. He can.
Oh, is that loud?
Like he actually listens to a show he's not on. Come on now.
he'll listen if I'm on. Not if he's you two jokers. So.
He's just gonna police you for your show.
No, that's exactly why. So I guess this is where I should just say Black Lives Don't Matter. So, we should end the show. Let's see what else. Roseanne should have gotten canceled. So there's that. Anyways.
Okie dokie. Well, those are the opinions of at Granny Mays. If you want those of the at Stunt Granny brand, please do not pay attention to his moniker that somehow matches ours. And I'm at DeFrango11. The other guy on the other end is Chris Calamita.
Oh, dear God.
And I am out of here.
I'll go next. Yeah, cool. It's good to be on again, in all seriousness. I hope We Watch Stuff is able to record tomorrow. We'll see how this turns out, because we've missed a lot. So, yeah, check in on late Wednesday, early Thursday for We Watch Stuff, and have a good night, guys, or day, or whenever you listen to this.
All right. Rate and review us on iTunes. If you're still listening, a 5-star review would be great. I'm pretty sure I'll be back here next week. Later.
And I, you know what? I forgot this week's Belltime Beer of the Week, Land Grant Greenskeeper, which is their Session IPA. It is a tropical goodness. It is finest and not terribly hoppy. So now I'm out.